Committee on Public, the Minnesota House Committee on Public Safety and Criminal Justice Reform will come to order. Welcome back, everyone. I trust you all had a bit of a respite. I know our staff were working awfully hard this last week, and every once in a while I would join in with them, but we truly are blessed to have great professionals surrounding us in this institution. As I said, welcome back. We've got a busy several weeks up ahead of us. Certainly this week will be very busy as we put together our committee omnibus bill. There'll be some long hours, some good long and tough debates, no doubt. So I do hope you're well rested and ready for that. With that, I'm going to ask the clerk to take the roll of attendance.
Chair Mariani.
Present.
Vice Chair Frazier.
Present.
Representative Johnson. Representative Johnson. Representative Edelson.
Present.
Representative Feist.
Present.
Representative Grossel.
Present.
Representative Hollins.
Present.
Representative Hewitt.
Present.
Representative Cleavorn.
Present.
Representative Long.
Present.
Representative Lucero. Representative Lucero. Representative Mueller.
Present.
Representative Novotny.
Present.
Representative O'Neill.
Present.
Representative Pinto.
Present.
Representative Poston.
Present.
Representative Raleigh.
Raleigh present.
Representative Vang.
Present.
Representative Zhang. Representative Zhang. Representative Johnson.
Present.
Representative Lucero.
Present.
Representative Zhang. That concludes roll call with 18 present.
Very well. With 18 present, there is a quorum. Just a notice to the public that this hearing is being conducted remotely on an electronic platform pursuant to Minnesota House Rule 10.01 Emergency House Operations in response to the COVID-19 infectious disease pandemic, requiring public health exercise of social distancing. The public can come to the Minnesota House website to view House Rule 10.01. You can also visit this committee's page for instructions on how to access this hearing via streaming video, as well as instructions for participating in public testimony. Members, as I said at the very beginning, welcome back. I anxiously look forward to our time together, particularly this week as we construct our committee's omnibus finance bill as we move into this next stage of the legislative process. Today, we've got two items. We have a bill sponsored by Representative Quam. We're taking up the Senate file of that bill. My hope is that we can quickly move that bill forward. And then we're going to take up House File 1078, which is the which will serve as the vehicle for our omnibus bill. I'll explain when we get there what the process will be for that. But at this point, I'd like us to move on Senate File 304. So, Representative Quam, if you're ready, the chair moves that Senate File 304 be referred to the General Register. Representative Quam, welcome to the committee. Please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before the pandemic hit, we had a hearing and committee and a great deal of bipartisan support. We again had a hearing this year. They heard it in the Senate. We had peace in the valley type tweaking to the language. And it passed bipartisan support, strong through the Senate. And by taking up the Senate language, I think that would be the best route to go. It boils down, this bill, a family lost a child. He had some drug issues. He wanted to clean his life up, and part of that was becoming a confidential informant so that way he could do something good, and also it would prevent anyone from selling to him in the future. He was useful in that function, but unfortunately had a bit of a fallback and weakness, and ended up dying. And the bill is meant to improve protections for confidential informants and safeguards, while still allowing that to be a key use for law enforcement to address major issues. And so, if you got any questions, but we've heard this bill a few times in committee over a few years, and I'll let you take back the, Mr. Chair.
Very well. Representative Quam, are there any questions from committee members? I'm not seeing any hands going up. Representative Quam, you're most correct. We heard this bill last year. We heard from the family. It's it's always heart-rendering to hear from family members who lose loved ones. Pretty tragic situation. We hope that this passage of the bill will mitigate and prevent that kind of harm to folks in the future. I do note that you've got support from our law enforcement community. I believe the MPPOA in particular had advocated for this bill and worked closely with you on it. So I commend you making sure you're bringing all sorts of stakeholders together to pass legislation. With that, seeing no questions, the chair renews his motion that Senate File 304 be referred to the General Register. The clerk will take the roll on that motion.
Chair Mariani.
Aye.
Chair Mariani, aye. Vice Chair Frazier.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frazier, aye. Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Johnson, aye. Representative Edelson.
Aye.
Representative Edelson, aye. Representative Feist.
Aye.
Representative Feist, aye. Representative Grossel.
Aye.
Representative Grossel, aye. Representative Hollins.
Aye.
Representative Hollins, aye. Representative Hewitt.
Aye.
Representative Hewitt, aye. Representative Cleavorn.
Aye.
Representative Cleavorn, aye. Representative Long.
Aye.
Representative Long, aye. Representative Lucero.
Yes.
Representative Lucero, aye. Representative Mueller.
Mueller votes yes.
Representative Mueller, aye. Representative Novotny.
Novotny, aye.
Representative Novotny, aye. Representative O'Neill.
O'Neill, aye.
Representative O'Neill, aye. Representative Pinto.
Aye.
Representative Pinto, aye. Representative Poston.
Aye.
Representative Poston, aye. Representative Raleigh.
Raleigh, aye.
Representative Raleigh, aye. Representative Vang.
Aye.
Representative Vang, aye. Representative Zhang. Excused. That concludes roll call with 18 ayes and 0 nays.
Very well. With 18 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails and Senate File 304 is referred to the General Register. Thank you again, Representative Quam. Best wishes as you travel back to the floor with your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and everyone. Thank you. Bye.
All right, members, next, and for the rest of this hearing, we will be entertaining House File 1078. We did send out just a brief outline to all committee members on all sides of the aisle in terms of how we'll be moving through this week, but let me just run through that very quickly. Let me begin by saying that I will be moving House File 1078. Again, you know, that'll serve as our vehicle bill, so I'll be moving that today, but only for the purpose of having it officially before us, and only for the purpose of having of being able to adopt the DE amendment. The DE amendment is actually the bill. However, once we adopt that amendment and we're done with today's discussions, I'll be laying the bill over as amended, so we won't be voting on anything other than just shaping up the bill in the way the author wishes it for us to be before us. We've posted this language, and that's the language in which all of you, no doubt, are preparing amendments for. So again, the intent today is to move it, to have it before us, to amend it with the DE, have a walkthrough of the bill, and then lay it over, and we'll take it back up on Thursday when we mark it up. So today's purpose then is merely to do a good walkthrough of the bill. It's a sizable bill. It's, you know, this committee's bill always is. We cover a broad waterfront of issues in public safety and corrections. You know, that explains why we work as hard as we do during the course of a legislative session, trying to beat the clock to hear so many vital provisions that members bring forward. Tomorrow, we will hold a public testimony on the DE amendment. We will not be taking action on the bill. We'll basically have a information session, but a vital one, as stakeholders will come forward to comment on and advise us relative to the DE amendment. Tomorrow also will serve as the date by which committee members will submit amendments. The chair has extended out the typical period of time for that by 2 hours. So we should have a good amount of time for members to be able to construct amendments and bring those forward. So the amendments to the DE will be due by Wednesday at 2 p.m. And then we will, the chair has also decided that we will be able to amend those amendments, and the deadline for those amendments to the amendments are due by 7 p.m. On Wednesday tomorrow. My advice to all committee members, because there's only so many staff that we have, and they're incredibly excellent and quick and efficient and good, but nonetheless, they're still human. They still need to sleep, and there's only so many hours any human being can, there's only so much energy any human being can put into an hour. So my advice is to get your language and ideas over to them as quickly as possible. And then on Thursday, we will mark up the bill. That will be a longer hearing. I think we're scheduled like 5 hours, for that markup. There won't be any testimony on Thursday. This is a conversation among committee members. And then, of course, voting and decision-making. The intent, then, is to move the bill out at the end of our allotted time on Thursday and have it, hopefully, travel on to Ways and Means. So let me just stop there really quickly to see if there are any questions. I do see some hands up. I'll start with Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to check to see if my mic is working because during roll call, I kept saying here and voting, but then staff made it sound like I was not being heard. So are you able to hear me now?
Can anyone hear Representative Zhang? No. Representative Zhang, I hear you loud and clear, man.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back, Representative Zhang. I hope all things are well in your house. And then we have Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a technical question. So if we are voting, well, first we'll vote on a DE. So that's already an amendment. And then we'll have amendments to the amendment. And then you just said that we're allowed amendments to the amendment to the amendment. And can you explain to the public how does that work in committee? Because it's not something we would do on the floor for sure, but it's literally an amendment to the amendment to the amendment. So you could just explain that.
Yeah, let me turn to our legal staff. There were a couple of ways we can do this. And, you know, quite frankly, what I wanted to do was to make sure that we didn't cut off, any opportunities for debate and proposals to come forward. And since we're not amending the original bill, the only way I could do that is to amend that bill and then set up that opportunity. But let me turn to legal counsel if they can lend a hand here in terms of what our custom and usage and practice has been.
Mr. Chair, Ben Johnson with House Research.
Mr. Johnson, please.
Mr. Chair and Representative O'Neill, there are two methods of doing this, both of which are often used in different committees at the discretion of the chair. One is to move the DE amendment, treat it as an amendment, and allow one layer of amendments. The other is to move and adopt the DE amendment on the first day, essentially then inserting that DE language as the amendment, treating it like an engrossed bill going forward, which then allows for both amendments and amendments to the amendments. Again, both are used in different committees. Different chairs have different preferences. Both have been used and are common throughout the House. So either method is approved.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make sure the public heard that from our nonpartisan lawyers on staff, because obviously we're not allowed to do that on the floor, and maybe people only watch floor debate, but there are occasions when we do it in committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Indeed, well done. And I've been here a while, and I've gone through both of those iterations over the years at the call of the chair. And as I said earlier, my hope was to be able to broaden and expand the opportunity for committee members to engage with one another, as opposed to limiting that. Okay, so very well. I'm trying to think what else housekeeping I need to do. I don't think I need to do anything else. Members, please be mindful of those amendment deadlines. If you're not sure of them, please check in with our staff. Please do your best to abide by those. All right, members, then I'll begin by moving House File 1078. And so the chair moves to refer House File 1078 to the Ways and Means Committee. And members, the chair then will move the DE3, I guess is the technical title of that amendment. The chair moves the DE3 amendment, and this will then effectively be the chair, or rather the bill. Representative Johnson.
Chair Mariani, we can do this by voice vote.
Very well. Thank you, Representative Johnson. All in favor of adopting the DE3 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And House File 1078 is amended with the DE3 amendment. So members, I'm going to ask our staff to walk us through the DE3 amendment, the bill now as amended. I'm going to actually do something I normally don't do, which is encourage our staff not to rush through it. It's really important that members and most members, you know, by now have seen most of this, but the public certainly hasn't, or most of the public hasn't. So I think it's really important that we take our time doing that. Once we get through it, you know, I'll open it up for any, if there's time, for thoughts, comments, or any kind of questions. Our big debate will happen on Thursday. There'll also be time tomorrow during public testimony for members to ask questions and offer thoughts to testimony that comes forward from the public. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to our staff, and I'm going to let them tell me who's going first and, you know, where the transition points are.
Mr. Chair, this is John Walls, House Fiscal Staff.
Very well. Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to do a walkthrough of the spreadsheet, which represents Article 1 of the bill. Would you like me to share screen with the spreadsheet?
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, if members can see that, I will start at the top of page one. And for the most part, we match up with the governor for many of his requests. And so I'll try to make specific note where we differ from the governor. Mr. Chair, so starting at the top of page one, sentencing guidelines, we include the governor's request for an operating adjustment, an increase of $131,000 for the biennium. We also include $86,000 a year for an additional FTE so that the Sentencing Guidelines Commission may also track probation data. And that was from House File 1374. Mr. Chair, moving down to the Department of Public Safety, on line 12, we begin the program of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. The House included the governor's request for an operating adjustment and the same $250,000 annual increase to the school safety center. The House also includes, on line 18, House File 499, emergency readiness grants, and that is $3 million a year to local communities for these grants, and that is for 2 years, and 2 year one-time appropriation. Mr. Chair, on line 19, we include House File 28. That was $200,000 in the first year for them to develop an Alzheimer's or dementia alert system for missing persons who may be suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia, and that is $200,000 one time in fiscal 2022. Mr. Chair, then I would move down to line 26. We begin the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. We include the governor's request on line 31 for civil unrest response. There is dollars in both fiscal 2021 in the current biennium and fiscal 2022. We include the governor's request for an operating adjustment and for body cameras for BCA agents. We did, however, not include the criminal information operations build out. That is on line 34. We had, we have in the line 35, the cybersecurity compliance, we reduced the governor's request slightly from $6.56 million to $5.56 million. On line 36, we also included the governor's request for the rapid DNA program. Mr. Chair, on line 37 through line 42 or through 43, have several provisions which are from House member bills. That was House File 295 on line 37, asking the BCA to investigate sexual assault complaints against the National Guard. That was $319,000 per year. On line 38, House File 707, the Sex Offenses Work Group, was $131,000 in fiscal 2022. On line 1152, on line 39, House File 1152, the Clean Slate Act. There's some record keeping that needs to be done with this bill, and there's $1.248 million on that line. On line 40, We include House File 401, law enforcement salary increases to agents at the BCA. This is 17. It includes some money in fiscal 2021, as well as $717,000 a year ongoing beginning in fiscal 2022. Mr. Chair, on line 41, we have House File 41, essential workers emergency leave. That amount was for... is $183,000 in fiscal year 2021 only. On line 42, we include the governor's request for drugged driving lab support technicians. And on line 43, we have law enforcement salary increases. This would be $15,000 in fiscal 2021 and $19,000 beginning in 2022. For additional funding from the opioid fund, and I believe that is for lab technicians. Mr. Chair, that brings us down to line 53, which is the fire marshal, and we include the governor's request for operating increased dollars of $920,000 for the biennium. Under the Board of Firefighter Training, we are also the same as the governor, who requested an increase of $777,000 per year for Minnesota Task Force 1, air rescue, and firefighter training. Mr. Chair, that brings us to the Gambling and Alcohol Enforcement Division. We grant the governor's request for an operating adjustment, also include dollars for civil unrest response. They have one-time legal costs of $93,000, and we also included the governor's request of $16,000 per year for body cams for gambling and alcohol enforcement agents. On line 78, we have included House File 401, which was some salary increase dollars for agents at the Gambling and Alcohol Enforcement Division. And Mr. Chair, line 79 through 81 are some technical changes to the expenditures and collections from the 2A on bar close permit fees. Mr. Chair, moving down then to the Office of Justice Programs, we have included the governor's request for an operating adjustment of $442,000 for the biennium. The governor also had three categories of grant programs titled Minnesota HEALS, which are on lines 92 through 94. The governor requested $1.4 million per year for each of those grants. The House has funded those at a level of $500,000 per year. Mr. Chair, on line 95, the governor has a request for survivor support grants of $10 million on a one-time basis in fiscal 2022. The House includes a similar provision with some slightly different language, but includes $6 million a year in ongoing funding beginning in fiscal 2022. Mr. Chair, the House did not include the governor's request for a juvenile justice unit. And on line 97, the governor had a request for innovations in public safety. Again, the House includes slightly different language, but includes more funding than the governor, who was at $5 million the first year and $2 million ongoing. The House provision is for $5 million beginning in 2022 and ongoing. Mr. Chair, the governor had on line 98 a request for a missing and murdered Indigenous women's office. The House includes something similar, but it is a standalone agency, and we will see that later in the bill. Mr. Chair, on line 99, combating sex trafficking, the governor asked for $2 million or $2.5 million on a one-time basis in fiscal 2022. The House instead funds that in at $1 million in fiscal 2022, but that is ongoing permanent funding. Mr. Chair, on line 100, there is a governor's request for $500,000 per year increase to youth intervention. The House includes that provision. On line 101, there's House File 1309, racially diverse youth grants. The House includes that at $150,000 per year in ongoing funding. And on line 102, there is House File 952, Missing and Murdered African Women's Task Force. We include $252,000 for that request. Mr. Chair, moving down to line 110, the emergency communications network. We are very similar to the governor. However, on line 114, we include House File 515, a telecommunications working group at $9,000 in fiscal 2022. Mr. Chair, on line 119, there is a one-time appropriation of $465,000 for House File 1199, and that is ignition interlock. Mr. Chair, that ends public safety and takes us to the top of page four, the post board. We include the governor's requests for operating adjustment, minute IT costs, obtaining HR services from small agency resource group, and additional staffing. However, and the governor on line 140 had extending the police training grants for $6 million a year beginning in fiscal 2024. The House has a slightly different approach, which indexes some of the training reimbursement base and then extends the $6 million training reimbursements for 1 year only in fiscal 2024. On line 141, we also include House File 730, grants for policy and training. That is at $1.2 million per year, and that is ongoing funding. Mr. Chair, moving down to line 149, the Private Detectives Board, we've included the governor's request granting them a $16,000 operating adjustment for the biennium. That takes us down to corrections on line 156. We include the governor's request for an operating adjustment, dollars for the Healthy Start Act. The Ombudsman for Corrections is transferred out to be a standalone agency. We take the governor's requests for an operating reduction and prison population reduction and accompanying language. And then we add House member bills starting on line 166, House File 478, a veteran sentencing bill. And you can see there's a decrease bed impact on line 166 of a savings of $228,000 a year beginning in fiscal 2023 and growing savings in future years. Mr. Chair, then on line 167, House File 613, increased penalties for human trafficking and the bed impact dollars there. On line 168, House File 1121, decreasing or getting rid of the statute of limitations on sex offenses and the increased bed impact there. On line 169, we have a portion of House File 553. This was for corrections ID cards and other things to help people leaving corrections integrate into the community. This appropriation of $17,000 the first year and $20,000 the second year is for providing 1 month of non-narcotic prescriptions to inmates who are leaving the Department of Corrections. On line 170, we have House File 707, increased penalties for sex offenses and the bed impact there. And on line 171, we have the inclusion of House File 41, which is essential workers. It says family leave. It should be COVID emergency leave. And that is $2,321,000 in fiscal year 2021 in the current biennium and $2,320,000 in fiscal 2022. Mr. Chair, that then brings us down to line 178, community services. We include the governor's request for the operating adjustment for the juvenile justice data piece for the safety enhancements at DOC licensed facilities, the operating reduction, the one-time grants to county probation, and line 186 is a technical change to the funding for Meeker, Renville, and Mille Lacs County probation systems. And on line 187, we begin member bills. We have House File 1097, Alternatives to Incarceration Grants at $320,000 a year, beginning in 2022 and ongoing. On line 188, House File 1162, the Aiding and Abetting Felony Murder Task Force of $25,000 one time. And on line 189, House File 218, a one-time grant of $300,000 to increase employments of released incarcerated individuals. on line 190, we have House File 553. This is the other piece. This is the corrections ID card bill. It pays for documents, and I believe there's a one-time appropriation to come up with a plan to combat inmates who are released and go into homelessness. It would be homelessness prevention. On line 191, we have House File 167, the pre-sentence investigation task force, $15,000 one time. On line 192, House File 401, law enforcement salary increases of $93,000 per year. On line 193, we have a House File 416, a juvenile justice report. It's $55,000 in 2022 and $9,000 a year ongoing after that. Mr. Chair, in operations support, we match up with the governor's requests of an operating adjustment, some additional information technology funding, an indeterminate sentence release board of $40,000 per year, and a $400,000 per year operating reduction. Mr. Chair, that takes me down to line 210. We have money for House File 1152, the Clean Slate Act, temporary caseload. This would be for expungements if we were to pass the language in House File 1152. It's $545,000 a year for temporary contract staff at the courts to deal with a caseload backlog that would come from the passage of that bill. Mr. Chair, on line 214, we have a missing and murdered Indigenous family member office. The bill number is not included here, but the funding was for $814,000 the first year and $787,000 ongoing. This somewhat mirrors a governor's provision that was included under the Department of Public Safety. Mr. Chair, on line 218, we have the governor's request to make the Ombudsman for Corrections its own freestanding office, and the funding is included on line 219. Mr. Chair, we have the on line 224, the transfer to the community justice account that was a piece from the drug reform bill of a few years back. That brings us to the totals in the bill. On line 237, in order to make the bill balance, there's a transfer from MinCor to the general fund of $6,274,000. And on line 238 is the revenue portion of the technical change to the way that Meeker, Renville, and Mille Lacs County probation is funded. And Mr. Chair, I believe that is all of the, I'm sorry, on line 254, the other piece of note is the extension of the railroad and pipeline safety assessment. And Mr. Chair, that completes the spreadsheet, and I would now turn it over to Ben Johnson to begin the walkthrough of the other articles of the bill.
Very well. Thank you, Mr. Walz. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, this is Jeff Diebel. I'm actually going to start.
Mr. Diebel.
Policy bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'll be walking through Articles 2 through 5 of the DE3 amendment, and I'll be working off of the specific or the language of the bill. It was a summary that we completed just before the hearing, and it may have been posted by now on the legislative website or perhaps on the committee page. But I'll be pointing out where the bill language came from and then the substance of it. So beginning on page 22 of the DE3, this is Article 2 entitled Policing. The first section is from the Post Board's policy bill, which Chair Mariani carried, its House File 1366. It relates to protecting personal information of peace officers maintained by the board. Section 2 is a piece of Representative Frazier's House File 1374, which relates to reporting police complaint data. Section 3 is another piece of the chair's post board policy bill, and it relates to conforming the post board's Discipline Review Committee to be in compliance with the legislation that was enacted last summer, adding more citizen post board members to the Complaint Investigation Committee. Section 4 is a piece from Representative Frazier's reporting of police private data, and it's, again, that's House File 1374. Section 5 on page 23 is a Representative Hollins's no-knock search warrant bill, which is House File 1762. That moves us forward to page 25, which is a piece from the reporting of bias crimes, House File 1691. It requires peace officers to report, amends the reporting requirement for bias crimes for peace officers. Moving to page 28, section 7, this is another piece from the post-board policy bill, which is carried by the chair, and it's a technical change. I would say it's a change the board requested to make sure there was continuity in service of members of the post board. Section 8 on that page is the chair's, as a piece from the chair's House File 640, which renames the Ensuring Police Excellence and Improving Community Relations Advisory Board as to be the Peace Officer Standards and Training Board Citizens Council. And it also contains a piece of the post board's policy bill on page 27. Moving forward to section 9 on page 28, this is another piece of Representative Frazier's private complaint data reporting by chiefs of police to the post board. Section 10 is from House File 1691, which is has to do with, as I mentioned earlier, peace officer bias training, investigation, and detection. This relates to being trained in detecting bias crimes. Section 11 is, I believe, the final piece of Representative Frazier's police complaint data bill, 1374, and requires the transmission of that data to the post board for their use as specified in section 11. Section 12 is House File 1691. Which again is, as I mentioned, it relates to bias crime, and this requires training in detecting bias crimes for peace officers. Section 13 on page 31 is the crisis intervention and mental illness crisis training for, this is a request to, from, I believe, NAMI, and it requires the post board to identify trainers and training courses that are approved for training officers in Alzheimer's and mental illness crisis response. Moving forward to page 32, section 14, this is a modified version of Representative Thompson's body camera bill, House File 1103. This shifts much of his proposal into Chapter 626, and where there is a statute currently that requires agencies that have a body camera program to adopt a policy consistent with the language in 626.8473, and this adds additional requirements to that policy that must be adopted if an agency elects to have a body camera program. Moving forward to page 33, section 15, this is the bill we just discussed, Representative Quam's confidential informant bill, that model policy bill, I should say. Skipping forward to page 37, section 16 is Representative Mueller's House File 698, which is the human trafficking model policy investigation bill. Also on that page is the Public Assembly Response Policy, Model Policy Bill, which is from Chair Mariani's House File 445. Section 18 on page 38 and actually 8 and 19 on the next page are from Representative Neal's House File Representative Gomez's House File 640. And this is a modified version of her Citizen Oversight Council bill, and it removes the mandatory components of that bill and empowers those city councils or county boards that elect to have an oversight council to invest in that council the authority to investigate complaints and impose discipline, among other things. But again, it's no longer compulsory as the bill was introduced. Skipping forward to page 40 and section 20 of Article 2, this is House File Set 1378, represent Becker Finn, relating to the exception for the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe in operating their police department. The section 21 on page 40 is Representative Hansen's House File 401, which increases salaries for certain state law enforcement officers. At the bottom of page 40 is the final piece of the Post-Board Policy Bill 1366, which is a rulemaking authority granted to the Post-Board to implement the other sections of that bill. Moving forward to page 40, section 23 is the Chair's House File 730, which is related to providing grants to law enforcement agencies to hire a post board selected peace officer training consultant. And this was mentioned, the funding for that was mentioned in Article 1, overview by Representative, by Mr. Walls. Section 24 on page 41 is the Representative Frazier's House File 593, which prohibits peace officers from affiliating with white supremacist organizations or other domestic extremist groups. Mr. Chair, pending any questions, that concludes my overview of Article 2. And if there are no questions, I can move on to Article 3.
Let's move on to Article 3.
Article 3 begins on page 42. It's entitled Corrections and Community Supervision. Section 1 is House File 1020, which is Representative Gomez's bill related to medical cannabis use while on supervised release. Section 2 on page 42 is a piece of House File 553, which we heard of and relates to DOC issuing identification cards to inmates. Skipping forward to page 44, where we pick up section 3 of Article 3, this is a piece of Representative Winkler's ban on private prisons, House File 1074. Section 4 on page 45 is a piece of Representative Edelson's EJJ reporting bill, House File 416. On page 46, you'll find section 5, beginning with section 5 and running through sections 5 through 12. These are the majority of Representative Long's correction facility security proposal. The next piece picks up on page 57, which is sections 13 through 16. These are taken from Representative Pinto's House File 947 relating to juvenile detention. Moving forward to page 58, section 17 and 18 are two additional pieces from Representative Long's House File 1267 related to facility security and operations. Section 19, actually sections 19 through 21 are the Fugitive Apprehension Unit reforms from House File 1368. Sections 22 and 23 are additional pieces of House File 553. These relate to the underlying bill, the base bill related to DOC identification cards issued to inmates. This is language taken from the Senate that was adopted in committee related to additional duties imposed on the commissioner when inmates are released from prison to make sure that they're prepared to reenter society. And the additional piece on that is page 62. This is also part of 553, the homelessness mitigation plan that came over from the Senate as well. Section 24 on page 63 is House File 2124 from Representative Keeler, and it establishes an office for missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. Moving forward to page 65, section 25, this is another piece of Representative Long's House File 1267, and it relates to, creates a duty to report for correctional officers and modifies the use of force required standard by correctional officers working for the state. On to page 68, where you find at the top sections 26, this is another piece from Representative Winkler's ban on private prisons. Sections 27 and 28 are the chair's indeterminate sentence release board provisions, which is House File 1369. On page 70, you'll find section 29, which is Representative Becker Finn's House File 1403. And relates to the commissioner's handling of pregnant and new mothers admitted to the commissioner's in the facilities operated by the commissioner. Section 30 on page 71 is House File 416, another piece of Representative Edelson's EJJ reform bill. Moving forward to page 72, section 31 is a piece of Representative Holland's House File 1761, which is, relates to the promotion revocation. At the bottom of page 72, starting with section 32 and then moving forward through sections 35, these are taken from Representative Long's House File 922, which relates to juvenile restraint policies. That takes us to page 75, section 36 and 37 are from Representative Pinto's House File 947, which we mentioned earlier is the juvenile, his juvenile detention reform proposal. Skipping forward to page 79, sections 38. Is from Representative Holland's Probation Revocation Reform Bill, House File 1761, another piece of that. Section 39 on page 80 is another piece of the EJJ bill from Representative Edelson. Section 40 on page 81 and 41 on 82 are again from Representative Holland's Probation Bill 1761. Moves us forward to page 83, which is finds section 42, another piece of Representative Winkler's private prison ban bill. Section 43 at the bottom of that page is Representative O'Neill's alternative to incarcerations, which is House File 1097. Moving forward to page 84, section 44, Representative Pinto's House File 1162, the task force on aiding and abetting felony murder. Section 45 is the final piece of Representative Long's facility security bill, House File 1267, and provides a title for those provisions as the Hardell-Sherrill Act. On page 87 also is Section 46, which is Representative Becker Finn's Correctional Supervision Working Group on Incorporating Tribal Governments into Community Corrections. That's House File 1641. Pending any questions, Mr. Chair, that concludes the overview of the corrections and community supervision Article 3. If there are no questions, I can quickly move through Articles 4 and 5.
All right. Do you need a break or you're doing good?
No, these last two are standalone bills that I can knock out in less than 30 seconds.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Okay. So Section 4 is the Minnesota Rehabilitation and Reinvestment Act, which we heard towards the near the end of deadlines. This is House File 2349, which was offered by Representative Becker Finn. And this is a proposal from the department on earned compliance credits and getting inmates to progress towards rehabilitation and rewarding them for their efforts. Article 5 is Representative Moeller's Criminal Sexual Conduct Reform Bill, House Foil 707, and that's the entirety of that dedicated to the text of her House Bill 707. So pending any questions on those two articles, Mr. Johnson will take over here and bring you through Articles 6 through 11.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Ben Johnson with House Research. I'll take over at Article 6. Article 6 begins on page 129. Section 1 is from House File 901. It requires the Minnesota Sentencing Guidelines Commission to include an analysis of the sentence adjustments that are issued under the new prosecutor-initiated sentence adjustment provision. Sections 2 and 3 are from House File 614. They reduce the maximum sentence for a gross misdemeanor to 364 days. Section 4 is from House File 7478. This relates to state sentences and conditions of probation for certain military veterans. It's been known as the Veterans Restorative Justice Act. Section 5, which begins on page 135, is from House File 613. It amends the definition of violent crime to include sex trafficking in the first degree. Section 6 is from House File 1082, and it establishes a disability impact statement as part of the pre-sentence investigation report. Section 7 is from House File 856. It requires a neuropsychological evaluation for certain defendants as part of the pre-sentence investigation report. Section 8 is a technical change related to the changes to trafficking and prostitution laws that appear in House File 613. Section 9 is from House File 901. It creates a prosecutor-initiated sentence adjustment. I'm on to page 141 of the bill now. Sections 10 and 11 are both from House File 1691. This was Representative Hornstein's bill addressing bias crimes. These provisions expand the crime of assault motivated by bias to include bias against a person due to the person's gender, gender identity, or gender expression, and also bias against a person who associates with someone in one of the named protected groups. Sections 12 and 13 are from House File 613. They increase the maximum sentence for sex trafficking in the first and second degrees. Sections 14 through 18 are also from that House File 613. They make a variety of changes to penalties and financial assessments, increasing penalties, and they also make some conforming changes based on the changes to the penalties. I'm on to Section 19, which is on page 146. This is from House File 809. It reorganizes the penalty subdivisions for the crime of identity theft to add additional clarity. Sections 20 and 21 are from House File 1691. That's, again, Representative Hornstein's bill. They expand the crimes of damage to property motivated by bias to, again, include bias against a person based on that person's gender, gender identity, or gender expression, and also bias against a person who associates with someone in one of the protected groups. Section 22 is from House File 613. It establishes a gross misdemeanor penalty for certain trespass offenses that involve trespassing on the grounds of a facility that provides emergency services. Section 23 is from House File 290. It clarifies the crime of drive-by shooting. Section 24 is again from House File 1691. It makes a change to the crime of harassment similar to the other changes to bias crimes that I've already mentioned. Sections 25 through 34 are from House File 1152. These are the provisions that address automatic expungements of certain criminal convictions and other law enforcement records. It's been referred to as the Clean Slate Act. Section 35, which is on page 166, is from House File 167. It establishes a task force to examine conditions of probation. The task force is also asked to review pre-sentence investigation reports and make recommendations for legislative action to improve the effectiveness of those reports and also to improve the way in which courts can determine appropriate conditions of probation for offenders. Section 36 is from House File 1152. It indicates that the provisions from that bill can be referred to as the Clean Slate Act. Section 37 is from House File 613 and directs the Sentencing Guidelines Commission to modify the sex offender grid consistent with the various changes that appear throughout the bill. Section 38 contains a reviser instruction related to reducing the maximum sentence for a gross misdemeanor to 364 days. And Section 39 is the final section of Article 6. It's from House File 613. It's a repealer that repeals a provision that established a misdemeanor offense for the solicitation of a prostitute. The minimum offense would be a gross misdemeanor going forward. Mr. Chair, that ends the walkthrough of Article 6, and I'll move on now to Article 7.
Very well.
Article 7 begins on page 169. Section 1 is from House File 502. It involves eliminating the DWI examination before a person's license is reinstated. Section 2 is from House File 1199. It expands the use of ignition interlock to require use of interlock when a person commits a second DWI violation in 10 years or a third violation in the person's lifetime. Sections 3, 4, and 5 are from House File 502. They make a variety of changes to the special registration plate provisions, also known as whiskey plates, the DWI examination already mentioned, and the ability of a person to obtain a limited license after committing a DWI offense. Section 6 is from House File 1199. This requires ignition interlock companies to assume the cost of certain repairs that are caused by an interlock device malfunction or by damage involved during the installation or servicing of the device. Section 7 is also from House File 502. It changes the provisions related to the issuance of a restricted license in a way that is designed to emphasize participation in chemical treatment programs. Section 8 is from House File 2433. It directs the Commissioner of Corrections to perform duties with a focus on public safety and also defines public safety to include prioritizing human rights. Section 9 is from House File 1180, which was heard as an amendment to House File 1370. It clarifies the predatory offender registration requirements in relation to individuals who commit offenses in other states. I'm on to Section 10, which is on page 181 of the bill. It's from House File 331. It expands the list of in-home healthcare workers who are entitled to know of the presence of a predatory offender. Sections 11 and 12 are from House File 2433. They direct the Commissioner of Public Safety and the Minnesota Sentencing Guidelines Commission to perform their duties with a focus on public safety, again defining public safety to include prioritizing human rights. Section 13 is from House File 1370. It permits the Commissioner of Public Safety to receive donations and grants. Section 14 is from House File 1078. It relates to the disbursement of assessments charged to regional hazardous response teams. Section 15 is from the same underlying bill, and it addresses the railroad and pipeline safety account by reinstating or extending, I should say, the assessment and providing for dispersal of the funds. Section 16 begins on page 187. It's from House File 723. It establishes an innovation in public safety coordinator who oversees grants and responses to community violence by working with community organizations to meet local needs. Section 17 is from House File 946. It establishes a statewide anti-trafficking investigation coordinator. Section 18 is from House File 1078. It establishes the Minnesota HEALS Initiative and the Department of Public Safety to provide grants to community healing networks, establish resources for families after an officer-involved death, and also establishes a statewide critical incident stress management office for first responders. Section 19 is from House File 295. It directs the BCA to investigate certain criminal sexual conduct cases involving National Guard members. Section 20 is from House File 1078, clarifies the distribution of money collected for sales that take place after 1 a.m. Section 21 is also from that bill, and it deletes expired language that put a limit on fees. On to section 22, which is on page 196. It's from House File 289, creates a Good Samaritan law for certain individuals who give aid to sexual assault victims. Section 23 is from House File 295. It's another provision involved in directing the BCA to investigate certain criminal sexual conduct cases involving National Guard members. Section 24 is from House File 2433. Similar to the other provisions, it directs the Post Board to perform its duties with a focus on public safety and defines public safety to include prioritizing human rights. Section 25 is from House File 1121. It eliminates the existing statutes of limitations that apply to sex trafficking and first through fourth degree criminal sexual conduct offenses. Sections 26 and 27, which begin on page 201, are from House File 946. They amend session law from 2016 and 2017 to remove references to training that would become part of the duties of the statewide anti-trafficking coordinator. Section 28 is from House File 1078 and amends the transfer from the alcohol enforcement account. Section 29 is from House File 861. It establishes grants to meet the needs of victims by supplying direct funding to victims and creating programs to meet the unmet needs of victims. This provision differs somewhat from the version that was heard in committee. In particular, it establishes some guidance in relation to prioritizing victims based on their need and the type of crime to which they were a victim. And it also establishes a reporting requirement. Section 30 is the last section of Article 7. It's from House File 952. Creates a task force on missing and murdered African American women. Mr. Chair, that ends the walkthrough of Article 7. The next few articles are significantly shorter, and I'll continue on unless there are questions.
Very well, thank you.
Article 8, which begins on page 209, was heard as an amendment to House File 1370. It's essentially an agency bill that modifies the Child Protection Background Check Act to reflect the most updated federal authorities and to provide the most complete and accurate criminal history information to hiring entities who provide services and supports to the elderly and individuals with disabilities. Article 9 is on page 215. It was also heard as part of that House File 1370. It makes changes to the Minnesota Crime Victims Reimbursement Act. Most of the changes involve replacing the term reparations with reimbursement. It also adds guidance as to when a person is ineligible for reimbursement because the person failed to cooperate fully with law enforcement officials, and also provides that contributory misconduct may not be based on current or past affiliation with any particular group. Article 10 begins on page 224. Again, it was heard as part of House File 1370. It contains provisions related to notifications given to victims when an offender is released or has a change of status. Changes in this bill include requiring prosecutors to notify victims of their rights, accepting letters as written requests for notification, and addressing offenders who are subject to civil commitment. It brings us to Article 11. Article 11 begins on page 228. Sections 1 and Section 8 are from House File 1042. They create a waiver process for members of federally recognized tribes to get exemptions from the state building code and state fire code in order to build traditional residential buildings for personal use, meeting houses, and one-room educational buildings. Section 2 is from House File 1482, and it requires each petroleum refinery operating in Minnesota to maintain or contract for a full-time paid on-site fire department. Also requires the refinery fire departments to be properly trained, equipped, and staffed to respond to fires and conduct fire prevention inspections at the refinery. Sections 3 through 7 are all from House File 2077. They create a firefighter certification board that is tasked with developing and maintaining a program to determine and certify the competency of firefighters and makes related conforming changes. I address Section 8 with Section 1. Moving on to Section 9, it's from House File 515. It establishes a 911 working group to recommend standards for training, certification, continuing education, and funding for the 911 telecommunicators and services. Sections 10 and 11 are both from House File 1686. They require 911 operators to refer calls involving mental health crises to mental health crisis teams when it is appropriate. It also provides that this provision may be known as Travis's Law. Mr. Chair, that completes the walkthrough of Articles 6 through 11 and the walkthrough of the DE amendment.
Very well. Members, it's a 235-page bill, and our staff just did a terrific job of going through numerous provisions, and then I think doing it in a very good pace and good transparency for us. There's certainly plenty in front of us for us to chew on, for the rest of this week. But at this point, we do have a little bit of time. I feel good in that I met my expectation of making sure that we were able to share this document with one another, but also with the public in a good, understandable way. But we've got a few minutes for people's comments and or inquiries. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question. I'm hoping that the DOC is listening, because when I looked at the fiscal note for the alternatives to incarceration, I realized that we're basically doing a grant or funding to expand the program. But as we heard in testimony, it was very clear that out in Anoka County, where we did the pilot, out of the 80 people that went through this alternatives to incarceration program, who were absolutely on their path back to incarceration, thus alternatives to incarceration name, 86% of them did not, in fact, become incarcerated, and we should be showing a bed savings. Now, the reason I bring that up is because we have data. We have 3 years worth of data, and I know in the first year or so of the pilot program, it was a 62% reduction in those that were incarcerated, but now we see an 86% over the course of the 3 years, and so I would really ask that the DOC would take a look at that and maybe do a revised fiscal note. And I also have a basis by which to ask that, because the Veteran Restorative Justice Act shows a very sizable savings, and it really is very comparable, if not more comparable, because we actually have data. So I would just ask that that would be reviewed and an updated fiscal note be issued, because I really do think that it should be almost a net zero by the time we're done. When I did the numbers myself, just knowing what a bed costs, and I know that admission is very expensive and discharge is very expensive, which is why technical violations become very expensive for the DOC. And I didn't even account for that, just simply the average bed cost. So I would just ask that, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Very well. Thank you, Rep. Simone. I know that this issue of, it's always a little perplexing to me, you know, how we capture, you know, savings and how we put those back into the systems. I know that that's a big discussion within corrections all across the nation. We're trying to conduct a major review process that involves, in a very nonpartisan way, all sorts of actors to be able to look at, finance frames that can help us do that. I find your question to be, compelling. I do know that DOC is listening, and so I hope tomorrow when we bring folks in that someone from DOC can respond to that inquiry. Representative Johnson.
Chair Mariani, I'm just inquiring what the process is going to be as we go forward. Is the judiciary bill going to be amended onto this during the in Ways and Means, or a process are we going to have to merge the two together?
Yeah, that's a fair question, Representative Johnson. I actually do not know the answer to that. I suspect that that will be the case. The path last year, which makes it possible to line up with the other bodies. Our counterparts, the way they've structured themselves, it's a little bit more complicated this year because the other body added another committee focused on, and you know this better than I do because you serve on judiciary, but I believe on data privacy, right, Representative Johnson? But I do think, I do suspect that there will be a marriage, if you will, in ways and means of these two committees, omnibuses. But I don't have a definitive for you on that at this point. Representative Mueller.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I was looking on the website trying to find the summary that our wonderful nonpartisan researchers were reading from, and I know that it was, I know that things are going quickly, and so, but I just didn't see it, and I was wondering if there was a different place that I could find it.
And I'm sorry, ask me again.
So I thought that at the very beginning, when our nonpartisan researchers were going through the bill, that they had a DE amendment summary from the nonpartisan researchers, and I didn't know if that was going to be posted on the website so we could follow along with that. I didn't see it, and I know that I'd seen it before when I'd worked with in my education committee. So.
Yep. Yep, fair question. I'm being told by our staff that they will be posting it. They just received it, but good catch, and that certainly will be up soon.
Great, thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Jeff Diebel.
Mr. Diebel.
If I could just add a point, Representative Mueller, the bill, if you go to the House legislative page and you click on House File 1078, there is a link under the House Research Summary to the bill summary for the DE.
Very helpful to have for a 235-page bill, Representative Mueller. Absolutely. Any other thoughts or comments before we adjourn for today? And I do have to lay this over, too. I can't forget to do that. All right. Well, I do look forward to some really good conversation tomorrow with the general public and the executive branch and other interested stakeholders. Will give us a good time for us to, ask them more probing questions of one another. And then, of course, the big markup day on Thursday. So I want to do two things now. The chair is going to lay over, or the chair lays over House File 1078. Do I have the right number? Let me make sure. Yes, the chair lays over House File 1078 as amended. And then we do have minutes from March 26th. I'm wondering, Representative Frazier, if you would be so kind as to move those minutes.
Mr. Chair, I will move those minutes from March 26.
Thank you. Representative Frazier moves adoption of the minutes of March 26. All right. Representative O'Neill, at this point?
It's actually not to this point. We're done with this, I do a final point. I got a message back from DOC.
Sounds good. Well, I'll call on you right after this. All in favor of the Frazier motion to adopt the minutes of March 26, please say aye.
Aye.
All same sign. Motion prevails, and the minutes of March 26th are hereby adopted. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's great when I talk to the DOC and they literally respond immediately to me, which was they never received a fiscal note request for alternatives to incarceration and would be happy to work one up. And I believe they also recognize that should be a cost savings. So we'll let them figure out exactly where that lies. But if Mr. Walls maybe wants to put in an official request, or if you do, that would be wonderful. And hopefully we'll see a cost savings.
Yeah, Mr. Walls, you're all ears, I take it.
Will do, Mr. Chair.
Very well. Thank you, Mr. Walls. Thank you, Representative O'Neill. All right, I don't say anything else. So members, some good bedtime reading tonight. I'll be reading it again myself. With that, thank you. And we get to finish early, and that will make all sorts of people happy. And until tomorrow, this committee stands. Oh, and by the way, tomorrow's not our typical meeting time. So please, don't look at your regular calendar. Make sure you're looking at your notices that we sent out. So until tomorrow, this committee stands adjourned.